Pittsburgh Steeler fans, welcome back to the Scobro Show. It's part two. I'm still the Behind the Steel Curtain editor, Dave Schofield, and still with me is my big brother, Rich. Rich, because it's a streak, I almost feel like you have to do it again.
But still breathe in that sweet smell?
Yeah, I mean, it's two wins in a row. Might as well do it twice in a show, right?
Hey, why not, Yeah, you got to love that. It's an actual win streak going now after we had the little L streak of three games. So, yeah. We wanted to stop talking about that, so let's talk about winning two in a row.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. Hey, some people were saying that the Bad said about Monday at the latest for those clips. If he said that on a show, that's not what he sent me that I actually put in the article that went out there. If you're just stumbling on the part two, we're talking about the BTSC bi-week bonanza podcast where we're giving you all a chance to send us a 60-second audio clip about the Steelers. That's what he sent to me. So if he changed it, you know how Brian is. I would say try to get it to him by Thursday. That way, you know, you're good for sure. If some more trickle in, I don't know what he'll do with those. That's kind of his decision. I'm just going by the deadline he gave me. So it is what it is. Rich, gotta love it. I'm sorry.
I know you saw it when I saw it. It made me laugh.
Because it's also goes with the screen name.
Yes.
Of Bad Itch says, can we do a whole episode on groins? So I will. I'll tell you. We can say, yeah, the Steelers have had a lot of groin injuries. I tell you, there are some things I'll keep stuff to myself. That you could attribute groin injuries to. You know what I don't attribute groin injuries to? The strength and conditioning coach. So many people say that, and that's a narrative with all kinds of soft tissue injuries that goes around year after year among teams, and it's just not how it works. It really isn't.
No,
I could say
groins and hammies, I think, are the two that I think of right off the bat that I've experienced both myself.
Yes.
And know that it had nothing to do with the strength and conditioning when I suffered each of those injuries.
Yeah, my sophomore year of high school in track and field, I had a meet. I was going up against some really good I was only a sophomore, and I was going up against some really good competition of a guy that was ranked pretty high in the state. I really wanted to, I didn't know that I could beat him. I just wanted to throw well, and I didn't. And so what did I do after the meet? I went over and I practiced and I practiced and I practiced until my teammates pulled me over and said, hey, we need one more for the fat man relay, which is where they have all the shot put and discus throwers go out and run a 4x100. So I get pulled out onto the track to do that, and I didn't stretch. And I got I want to make sure I get it right. I'm pretty sure it was left quad, right hammy is what ended up going out on me because of the turn I was running. But that was not a fun injury with dealing with both of those at the same time. But anyway, we'll get back to that.
Bad itch got us off topic with groins.
Bad itch. Okay. Make sure you put the space in there. Okay. But that was funny. That was a good one, I have to admit. Hopefully, I would love nothing more than to not have to talk about another groin injury for the rest of this season. So, but you know, another thing I don't want to have to talk about for the rest of this season? People that can't enjoy a victory. It really drives me nuts. And that's why the title of the episode, I've got to look it up again because I messed it up. Don't sweat the path to victory. Simply enjoy the win. Okay, right away after the game.
Breathe in that sweet smell of victory.
Yeah, breathe in that sweet smell of victory.
It doesn't matter if it was pretty or if it was ugly, if it was by a lot or by a little.
Yeah.
Just be happy it's a W.
The narrative. The Steelers could only beat the Seahawks without Russell Wilson by going to overtime, man, you can't even count this as a win. You know what? Call the NFL.
Nope. Yep. Tell them to take it away.
Got to take it away. Can't count as a win.
I want someone to go up to Cameron Hayward and say that they should take that win away and see what happens.
Take it away. You know what? Because it happens all the time.
Yeah.
It happens all the time because, you know, that's exactly, I mean, right now there's still an asterisk there, you know, they're still working on it. They're negotiating it in New York in the NFL offices that, you know, even though they're technically the number one seed in the AFC right now, the Ravens aren't really 5-1. They're really 2-4. Well, but you know what? They're only going to give one of them back. They're going to give back the one to Detroit. They're going to say, you know what, Detroit? Yeah, we didn't get that snap off in time. We shouldn't have been kicking from 66. It should have been 71. So we're going to hand that victory over to you because you don't have any. And we have so many right now. We need to redistribute this wealth. So we're going to give back that win and we'll go 4-2 and you all can be 1-5. Okay. Because we know that happened, you know, so. Yep. Okay. Tyler W. And you know what? I've been guilty of this too. I have. But so this is as much yelling at myself. But Tyler W. puts $2 in the tip jar and says, putting $2 in the enjoy the win jar. I'm guilty. Yes. Yes. And I can't say I've never done this. And I can't say I'm never going to do it again. So sometimes, see, so when I do this,
that's where people, you and I are different.
What?
You know, we're brothers, but you and I are very different then in that way. Because I might, the Steelers win, I'm always happy.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I might sit back and say, okay, that wasn't pretty, but I'm going to take that. I really hope that the Steelers work on this and this moving forward.
Yeah.
But I always enjoy the win. Oh, I was tickled to death with that win the other night.
It was
like, I went nuts when TJ got that strip sack.
Oh yeah. Because honestly, you know what I was bracing myself for? The tie. Actually, I was bracing for the tie. You know what I'm saying?
I actually put in my knee-jerk article, okay, because, you know, Seahawks had the ball, and they were getting down the field. They were getting close to the edge of field goal range and on that third down, and I was like, man, if they got, like, 5 or 6 yards, they'll probably try a field goal, okay? Mm-hmm.
But at least the Steelers would have got it back, though. You know what I mean?
Right. But I actually put in the knee-jerk article, third and eight here. Someone on the defense really needs to step up and make a play. And then TJ Watt got a sack.
You, Mr. Trent Jordan Watts.
Okay. And then I thought that after we punted the ball again, I didn't put it in the article this time. I was like, okay, come on, defense. Guys have got to step up. Boom. Strip sack. Boz nails it right down the middle. Game over. I celebrate. Mondays are good when the Steelers win on Sunday.
Exactly. Even when you're going on 3 hours of sleep like myself. So, hey, I was the East Coast guy that sucked it up and did the post-game show. You know, I'm like one of – between myself and Bad and Jeff, I'm like one of us has to be there. I'll take one for the team. So I'm still paying the price for it because I'm old. I can't, you know, I used to remember staying up all night in my 20s and like even my late 20s. I'm like, this is no big deal. Those night games kill me. But
yeah, take a winner for the team and all this and that. Okay. Some of you folks out there go said, when I call my brother out on that, you know what? That was the humble brag going on there.
What's that?
That was you, and you're just, oh, I took one for the team. Yeah, and this, I know. That, everything else. Well, that was humble brag.
You know what? And I deserve it. So anyway, getting back to it, my question for you is this. When TJ Watt got that strip sack, did you say to yourself, game?
Oh, yes.
Boswell.
Yeah.
No doubt. I was like, don't even go out and run any plays. They went out and piddled around for 2 snaps. I'm like, just kick it on first down. Just go out and say, you know what? I wonder if they did it for Boz's own mental well-being.
Don't you know what happened? Oh, okay. See, you were doing the post-game show. So you had the post-game show on. I was still watching on WPXI, and they were doing player. They were interviewing.
I don't get WPXI.
Okay, I know. Mm-hmm. They're doing player interviews after the game, and they're talking to Boz. Mm-hmm. And I thought this while this was going on the field, and Boz confirmed it afterwards, okay? So the first play, Ben got it back into the middle. Okay, so that's what the first place was about, just putting it in the middle of the field, lining it up good for Boz. They were going to kick on second down. Mm-hmm. Okay. Boz was still over kicking into the net, and they're hollering, "We're going now." And Boz wasn't ready to go on the field. So that's why they did the second down play.
It turned over so fast that he needed his warm-up time. And you had the downs to do it. You had the downs to do it. So
And Boz confirmed that after the game, that he wasn't ready to go on, that he wasn't over there ready when they were ready to send the whole kicking team out, and everybody's like, "Where's Boz?"
And they could have used a timeout, but you know what? They didn't need to.
They didn't want to use a timeout because it still was good. Let the clock run.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't leave a whole lot of extra time because what would have happened if, heaven forbid, Boz slips on the field and misses the kick? Don't give a whole ton of time for Seattle to be able to get down the field.
No. Well, if Boz was smart, if he slips, he should just try to pull his foot back and not actually kick it. Press fumble on it and then kick it from 7 yards further back on fourth down. and they're smart enough to do that.
And they know and they work on, I know, and they know those kinds of things. But that's what that was about.
When TJ got
the strip sack at first, though, I will say this. At first, I thought Devin Bush was going to totally take off, run the wrong way, and then he got himself turned around.
I said that on the post-game show, and apparently TJ said it as well. I'm like, man, I thought I was watching Pee Wee football, and I was going to see
exactly what I thought.
Taking it the wrong way, and no. But I'm like,
tackled by his own teammate.
Yeah, but I don't know that he intentionally ran the wrong way, or if it was just his momentum was carrying there. I'm not sure.
I think his momentum was carrying, and he didn't want to plant and go too hard because he wanted to try to return that thing as far as he could. He probably wanted to try to take it to the house. What's that?
He didn't want to pull a groin. Okay, sorry. But now it's just I love that the Steelers have Chris Boswell now. I mean, 2021 Chris Boswell, loving it. I mean, look at all the other issues. I mean, look, the Ravens have another game they should be giving back. You know, we feel bad for you Colts that your kicker was injured and couldn't, you know, he got one blocked and then he couldn't get the other one down because he was hurt and everything. So, you know, we feel bad that you played it stupid the way you did, knowing you had a hurt kicker and still was trying to settle for a field goal. Yeah,
we're
going to
give that one back, too. We'll
give that one back, too. You know, but, you know, the Chiefs, you were in the Super Bowl last year. And, yeah, you fumbled it away, but we're not giving that one back. So we'll go to 3-3. You know, you don't do that. And I understand that, you know, sometimes you should come out and crush a team. But this is the NFL. These are all professionals. They really are. I don't care if a team is 0-16. They are not, or 0-17, I guess now. They are not that far away from losing every single game, meaning that there are games in there that they were on the verge of most likely winning, and they just couldn't get across there. So what were you going to say? I know you got something you want to say.
So, you know, sometimes you win games big and sometimes you don't win games big. And maybe people's issue here was you go in 14-0 at halftime and the defense had totally dominated and you think we're going to come out in the second half and just put this away.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be honest. When it comes to offensively versus the Seattle offense versus our defense, do I feel like they made better adjustments at halftime? They might have.
You think? Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And actually, Jeffrey and I have a Vertex coming out tomorrow. He's finishing up the film probably right now while we're doing this show, where we're looking at the third quarter and they're rushing everything in the third quarter and what they did and what happened and what the Steelers need to do to not let that happen again. So that's something to think of. But I mean, it was crazy. I mean, they rushed for 141 yards and 110 of them were in the third quarter. That's insane. So
it's really one of those that even on the broadcast, I worried going out because you saw two very different things said by the coaching staffs.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, Pete Carroll said for them to get their offense going, they had to get their run game going. Mm-hmm. The Steelers said that their defense needed to continue to worry about taking away Lockett and Metcalf, their big play guys.
Yep.
So it was like defensively we were focused on something, but the offense for Seattle had turned around to try to focus on something else. So they were actually focused on something we weren't paying as much attention to, and we paid the price for it.
Oh, thank you. I saw that a while ago, and I didn't realize I didn't bring it up. Wes Hickok.
I knew we get him.
$2 into the tip jar saying rejuvenated. 12-5 first round bye. Here we come, baby. Which is so funny because when they were in the losing streak, Wes, who had the Steelers in the Super Bowl, he was starting to unbelieve. But now he's back on the belief train. Gotta love it. And you know what? It's okay. We're allowed to be up and down as fans. But what I'm saying about enjoying this win is this. Here's my question to you, Rich.
Yep.
Going into the bye, would you have rather the Steelers won this game 35-0 or 23-20 in overtime?
Oh, I didn't care.
That's a great answer.
I didn't care.
That's okay. A great answer. That's a great one.
No, it's not quite a Dave answer because I'm going to explain why I don't care, and I think that'll make sense. I didn't care. The most important thing for me for the Steelers going into the bye was getting to 3-3.
Yeah,
I was like, the Steelers have to find a way to win this game. I didn't care if it was 2-0 on a safety. I didn't care. The Steelers needed to find a way, win this game, get to 3-3, back to 500, to get your bye, get some rest, get some guys healthy, and let's make a second half run.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. I see you. I see what you're saying.
You can
look at the advantages either way. It would be nice to just go out and realize, hey, this is how we can play football. But at the same time, I'm reminded of what Jeff Hartman said about when he was coaching lacrosse. And he's like, if we go to scrimmage a team at the beginning, I don't want to win 15-0. I'd rather win 9-8. Because you know what? You can look at things going on in there and build on them. This 23-20 victory over a team that, you know, the Steelers didn't cover the spread, if you just want to say it that way. You know what? You got the win, and that's what was important. You needed the win. But now you have something to say, hey, we got the win, but we can't be satisfied with this being a victory moving forward. You know, you're not going to be hearing, you know, we got this. This everything, the ship is going straight and steady. We righted everything. Although it would be great to feel that way. Is that really how the NFL works? I'd rather them say, hey, look, we now know that this game, we were up 14-0. Look at what happened. We've got stuff to build on. We've got stuff to grow on. And it's a lot easier to find it in that circumstance. That's the only thing I'm saying. If you're looking for a silver lining of winning a tough, close game that shouldn't have been that close, that's something you can take into your bye.
Whether that win was 25-0 mm-hmm. or 23-20 in overtime.
Yeah.
Won't matter when it comes to do the Steelers make the playoffs or not.
Yeah.
The score of that game won't matter when it comes to them making the playoffs or not.
Yeah.
The biggest thing that they got from it was they had more points than the Seahawks.
Yeah. You know, and the way you look at it, you're like, oh, well, the way they played the second half, did they deserve to win the game? Yeah. You know why? Because they did in the first half. To put them
because of this situation. That drove me nuts?
Yeah. The missed tackling, that was, you know what? I had that number at one point, and I got away from it. I can get it back here, the number of missed tackles. And it was a lot. Hold on.
It was a lot.
3, 6, 8, 10. According to Pro Football Focus, I don't have them broken down by quarter just for the whole game, is that the Steelers had 14 missed tackles. That's a PA. Remember, that's not an official stat. I talked about that in the first half. But according to them, that's what they had. So,
and that doesn't surprise us because we had plays where we had 2, 3, 4 missed tackles.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and to me, that's the frustrating part. Mm-hmm. If a guy gets overly aggressive and misses a tackle and the next guy up on him takes him down, that doesn't bother me so much. Yeah. But when I see 2 and 3 guys not get the guy wrapped up and on the ground, that's rough.
Yep. Before we get to our final question, because we're still going to do one, do you want to talk about the last few seconds of regulation? Jeff did an article about that today. He actually called me because he's like, I want to make sure I'm getting this right. because he wanted to get the rule and he wanted to know if there should have been a 10-second runoff. But we talked about that. The 10-second runoff only applies if there's a changing of the call on the field to where it would be a running clock when it wasn't otherwise.
Yeah.
So, for example, if let's say the Seahawks threw a pass with 8 seconds left that was incomplete, and they call it incomplete and they stop, there's 8 seconds left. If they review it and deem it to be a completion in the field of play, then it's game over because it's a 10-second runoff. So it has to be a change in the play and a situation where the clock would then be running, a situation from where the clock was stopped to where then the clock would run. Okay, that's the 10-second runoff when it comes to those kind of things.
Now, I'm not saying it would have changed this call, but a similar situation would have been on this call if they would have said Metcalf didn't fumble the ball before he went out of bounds and they stopped the clock.
Uh-huh. And then they find out that he...
And then they go back and look at it and find out that he did fumble the ball and it was recovered inbounds. They would have then run 10 seconds off. They
waved it off immediately and said out of bounds.
Yes.
And then reviewed it to find that he wasn't. Yeah, game over. That's another thing. It would have been, you know what?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
How much time was left when?
I don't know.
Would have been there.
Oh, sure. I don't know if it would have been game over.
It would have been a 10-second runoff.
10-second runoff, yeah.
Yes.
You're right. I wasn't looking at how much time it was because they still had to run over and do all that. I don't know if the Steelers realized it. They had a chance to pile on that dude. Yep. Even though he recovered the fumble, because it was a fumble, they weren't going to get flagged for delaying the game, or they shouldn't have by piling on because there was a loose ball.
You could have
piled on and been like, well, I'm going for this fumble. He didn't have full control. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But that's a really hard thing to do in that moment to realize that. But I will tell you this.
But it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
Because you and I agreed on one thing when we talked about it.
Yeah.
I think you and I had talked about it and agreed on it. Maybe you said it on the post-game show and I agreed when I was watching. The buzzing in to look at that play should, first of all, we all know, should have never happened because there shouldn't have ever been any question, especially from New York, that ball was caught.
There was nothing to review there.
That was done just in case the Seahawks didn't get the snap and spike.
My opinion was
1 second left still on the clock when they spiked the ball.
Yes, there was.
I knew it.
Yeah.
You were watching. You could see it.
Yeah.
It's like, dang it, 1 second left.
Yeah, 1 second left. So they didn't, to me, by them buzzing in, they didn't change what ultimately ended up happening other than the fact that they gave Seattle, one, a bunch of time to get set and ready. You know, let their kicker warm up a little more, you know, things like that. But the real thing that bothers me is why they were buzzed in. They were buzzed in to make sure they'd get to spike it in case they didn't spike it in time.
Yep.
That's my opinion. I also want to bring this up because this was an issue. Demetrius said, anyone notice that the refs didn't spot the ball? Seattle spotted the ball and hiked to themselves. That can't be legal. From what I went back and saw, this is what I say. You can run and put the ball down as a player. It's still the ref's job to spot the ball. The fact that you put it there, if it's right, technically the ref should touch it, and I'm pretty sure he did.
He could
deem that a good spot, and it's good to go. Yep. Now, if they don't deem it a good spot, then you can't do that. The player shouldn't have been around to do it. I even had someone in the comments of the article today go back and said, I'm going back to watch it now to see if the player put the ball in the right spot. And they're like, he did. He put it down. It's not like he gave him more yards or less yards or anything. You know, and if he happened to get it in the right spot and the official's like, I can't spot it any better than that, boom, go. Because let's say a player's running up in the middle in between the hashes and gets tackled and just leaves the ball on the ground, all the official's going to do is make sure it's turned the right way. And if it's already turned the right way, they're not going to do anything with that either. So that really wasn't the big issue with the problem. The big issue wasn't how it worked out, how it ended up. It was the intent of why it happened in the first place. Because now, I don't, yeah.
Knight Rider brings this up and says, but the ref was holding his hands out for the ball and he didn't even give it to him. The ref I saw holding his hands out for the ball was not the one who would have been spotting the ball.
Yeah. And you're better off. And that's what the players are know in that situation. Don't just hand it to any ref. If anything, run it to the right ref.
To the correct guy.
To the correct guy who spots it.
I have no problem.
Or go put it at his feet, which in essence is what he did. You know what I'm saying? No
problem with what the Seattle player did.
Yeah. Yeah.
None.
If that would have been the Steelers doing that, I would have said.
He did.
Good job.
What if I was a football coach, I would coach players to do.
Yeah.
In that situation. So that I don't have an issue.
My problem is with New York. Stopping it with no other reason to stop it other than to make sure they'd get a chance to kick it. So, honestly, I don't know. Sometimes I'd say it's about the betting, but that wasn't going to change the spread. You know what I'm saying? Because now that the NFL is dabbling in the gambling, which they said they never do, you always have to question that. We are basically out of time. Rich.
Yeah. Real quick.
What's our big question tonight?
All right. I'm going with yours. Yeah, okay. You and I had a couple out there. We kind of talked and I came up with the idea we're going to kind of wait and see how the show went. I was going to kind of keep an eye on things in the live chat. The Steelers are now 3-3 going into their bye week. Now, hey, I'm asking the question. You have to answer it. Steelers 3-3 going into their bye week. Now that we've seen six games from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and there was one person that already got to do this and did it legally.
Okay.
What do you think the Steelers' final record will be at the end of the season?
Yes. Now, for those of you in the live chat, don't put your answer
put
in there.
It up
Wait
yet.
For us to put it in there. I've got it ready to go, Rich, so don't worry about it.
Wes already got his in there.
He got his in as a super chat earlier. He didn't know it was coming, so that's fine.
He did. Yeah, that's. I thought that was funny when he put that in.
I noticed that. I thought of that, too. I almost was going to save it, but here's the deal. But we would have lost it. This is what I'm saying, and I kind of talked about this on my bi-week bonanza podcast that'll be out tomorrow at 3 p.m. I had the Steelers at, you know, when the schedule came out in May, I had them at 4-2 at this point. But the thing is, their two losses I had in two games that they won. So, of course, things are not happening the way that they are at all. I had them overall finishing at 11-6. Because they're 3-3, I'm going to go with this. I'm going to say 10-7. I'm going to say because I'm like, that puts them at 7-4 the rest of the way. I'm not saying, could things fall apart? Absolutely. Could things go even better than that? Absolutely. That's just my gut throwing out a number. Do you want to say it, Rich?
Do you want to say yours? Yeah, I will, because honestly, I from the start had put out 10-7, if I remember correctly. And I've decided that with a 3-3 start, I am staying right with mine at 10-7. That would mean that they would need to go 7-4 the rest of the way, which is exactly what you said. And I think if finishing with that record or with 7-4 is an achievable goal.
Yep. So. Boy, everyone was ready. I think Knight Rider accidentally hit record and then was the next one up. So I'm going to give you a break this time. I think it was probably had it up and didn't mean to hit enter, but we'll say Knight Rider says 9-8. Michael O'Malley says he's done with predictions because he's a jinx. Steel Dog 88, 10-7. Brian Brown, 14-3. Steelers Pittsburgh, 12-5. Sounds about right. BF Bud, 9-8. Hope better though. Brad Jewett, 10-7 and sneak into a wild card. George OTJ, I think 10-7 may be as high as 12-5. Okay. I'm going to bring up Wes's, even though it's long, because he was a topic of someone. He said, originally I had them going 13-4. I lost faith for a bit, but I've gotten back and feel 12-5 is very possible. Okay. It could be good enough for 12. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the next one. George Teston says 10-6-1. Got to throw in that tie. I don't know who the tie is, George. Put it in the live chat. I'll bring it up later. Tell me which game it's going to be. Stacy Lynn says 10-7. Bert Tavares says 8-9. Tomlin's first losing season. Ooh, okay. Brian Blackstock says 10-7 wild card. Tyler W, 11-6 and win the division. Shocking Steelers Nation. Okay. Mark says 8. Mark Tobin says 8-9. John Loof says 12-5. We'll just say Marcus. Okay.
Marcus
39. Okay. 11-6. Matt Smith says 11-6. Untouchable One says 10-7. Terry Glover says 10-7. Michael O'Malley says Saban. Because that's what I said. I was Marky just clicking without looking. Marky D, 11-6, AFC North champs. Okay. Demetrios says 10-7. Hope for better. Okay, George Teston says it's the Bengals. They're going to tie the Bengals when they play
the Bengals.
Okay. Nice. Jeff Lauderdale says 10-7. Matthew Pierce says 10-7. That's all we have so far. There might be another one or two that comes up. I'm going to give my ultimate disclaimer to this. This goes against my being right now. Not where I was after the first 2 weeks of the season, but where I've been the last four. And that is with this Pittsburgh Steelers team. I could look at it, and because the thing is, like, 7-4, tell me where they're going to get 7 wins. Thank you. Gabriel Golden says 11-6. Yep. People might say, well, where are they going to get those 7 wins? What are those 4 losses going to be? You know what? I don't know. All I know is that every week the Steelers have a
chance
to win their game.
All you know is you had them going 4-2, and the 2 games you thought they would lose, they would win. So how
expect
can you
expect the unexpected? What am I supposed to do? You know? Yeah. That was the theme of my bi-week bonanza. Expect the unexpected. Because did Tyler W. have his up there, or is this a new one? I'll bring it up just in case.
Okay.
He said he called 10-7 in the beginning, but, man, I love the resiliency. I just think the Steelers need to focus on winning their next game. Don't worry about how we're going to get 7 more wins. You know what? You need to get 1 more win, and then you can worry about the next one. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, and trying to make improvements week to week.
Yeah.
You know,
so
the run game against Seattle wasn't as good as it was against Denver, but it wasn't as bad as it was before.
Yeah.
And, so
go ahead.
You know, it's still, as I said, I felt the run game the other night was still hanging in there.
Yes. And a lot of people are like, But the Seahawks defense, they're 31st going in against the run. You know, you've got to be able to run. You know what? I said it. I don't know if I said it on this show or if I said it on the preview. I can't remember because I do too many shows. When a team goes to their backup quarterback, who rallies more than anything most of the time?
The defense.
Yep. The defense. That's what's going to happen. So I expected Seattle to actually, and I know I said in the preview, because I did it based on our over-under picks, is that I'm like, I expect the Steelers to not rush for as much as they did the week before, you know, simply because I think Seattle's going to come out and really have that be a point of emphasis to try to help their, although he's a veteran, still their backup quarterback who hadn't started a game since 2017. Yeah,
but here's my thing. I'm just glad we didn't lose to a backup quarterback because we're notorious for doing that.
Exactly. You know, really, really, they are. And honestly, I don't have confidence in beating Seattle. They're just one of those teams that, you know, beat them in the Super Bowl, and then it seems like, you know, they're the last time the Steelers played Seattle. We don't want to talk about the stuff that happened in that game and things like that. So that's just one of those teams that I'm just like, man, I just don't know. So I'm just glad they got the W. Yes, I would have liked them to win more. I always want them to win more because, you know what? I could have started writing my Who Gets the Game Ball article way sooner and got more of it done if they would have been up by multiple scores. But no, I had to wait for the game to finish to start writing that thing at 12 o'clock.
I'd have been asleep a lot earlier because it took me a lot longer to unwind after that game.
So, exactly. I could have started compiling my numbers for my article the next day. But no, I had to wait till the very last second in overtime. So yeah, I'd love them to win the games otherwise. But most importantly, it's getting the win. You got to just, you know, I'm going to use that ugly purple team. I know we need to. This is my final thought. As that ugly purple team to my East. Oy, look at what's happened to them. They won 3 games, basically. Were they all 3 in a row? I don't even know. There weren't, because they had the Denver game sprinkled in there somewhere. They won three games. They really didn't have that much business winning. They could have just as easily lost all three of those games. But you know what? They found a way to win ugly, to win despite the fact that they should. I mean, it took a 66-yard field goal to beat a team that's now 0-6. And you want to complain that the Steelers went to overtime against Seattle because they didn't have Russell Wilson? I mean, think about that. So, but you know what that turned into? That turned into taking those wins when you didn't play the best and then playing a quality opponent like the Chargers and just stomping them.
Yeah.
You know, do they come around? Do they do that if they lose two or three of those games? Probably not, but that's what wins can turn into. So that's, to me, you got to make, first and foremost, win. That's the number one priority, win. Then win by more. That's just the icing on the cake.
Yep.
Rich, give us your final thoughts.
Final thoughts is kind of like you're thinking, yeah, kind of the win is the win. It's kind of like when I go fishing, okay? I'm a huge fisherman. I think I said this to you when I took you and your son out this summer, right? When I took, okay. And I say it every time I'm with somebody or even by myself. Okay. The first fish I catch, I always say, oh, good. Caught the hardest one of the day. Everything after this is bonus.
Exactly. Okay?
The goal when I go out to fish is to make sure I catch one. Anything I catch after one is a bonus. Same way with the Steeler wins. You get one more point than the other team. Anything more than that is bonus.
Bonus.
And
adds years to my life.
So it does, but instead of take them away. But, the Steelers are now on their bye week. I want them to get in there, get healthy. You want to know why? I want them to come out after the bye week because I'm ready for another win. More W's. You know what I have to say about more W's?
What do you have to say about more W's?
Can't wait.
Oh, how it rips me, but love makes me live for tomorrow.